Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm Rick Hughes. I'd like to invite you to stay tuned for the next 30 minutes. It could be the most important 30 minutes of your entire life. This show, heard every Sunday on this radio station at the same time, is always about motivation, inspiration, education, and done with no manipulation. That means we have no hidden agendas, and we're not trying to get you to join anything, and we certainly aren't trying to sell you anything. This show is simply about truth found in the Bible, the Word of God. Thus, it is a Christian talk show, but not a dialogue. It's a monologue. It's simply me talking to you. And if you enjoy this show, I encourage you to come and listen. You're going to find that on this particular show, you're going to get a lot of information and no useless speculation. It's all about the articulation of the Word of God. What does the Bible say? Not what do I say? And the man is not really the issue here. It's the Word of God that's the issue. And if you can listen, and if you will listen, you will be able to verify and identify God's plan for your life. And if you want to orient and adjust to that plan, you will have the freedom and the privacy to do so. You are always free to contact us should you ever like to do that. Our website is simply www.bigrick.org, www.bigrick.org. Or you could write us at any time at Post Office Box 100, and the city is Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. That is Post Office Box 100 in Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. And don't send money. We're not asking you for any money. But if you'd like to have a question answered or if you'd like to make a comment, you can feel free to contact us through the World Wide Web in the email or send us a hard mail letter, because we do enjoy hearing from our listeners, especially of when the listeners are able to tell us that maybe we taught something that really helped them in their spiritual life. That's all I'm trying to do, is give you accurate information that would help you in your spiritual life. Many, many times as I travel and speak across this great land of ours, I find people that are not even aware of the fact that they actually have a spiritual life. They confuse the physical life, which we all have, with the spiritual life, and don't see the difference in how these two operate. And there is a huge, vast difference. Number one, it's possible for you to have a physical life and not have a spiritual life, because the spiritual life begins or is conceived at the moment you believe in Jesus Christ. That's when it starts, because the Bible says that's when you're born again. Nicodemus, a Pharisee of the Old Testament, came to Jesus, our Lord, the anointed Son of God, at night. And he asked him some personal questions, and he called him a teacher. And Jesus said to him that he needed to be born again. Nicodemus, rather confused, stated that he could not possibly go back into his mother's womb and be conceived again. And our Lord said, "You are really confused, because it's not physical, it's spiritual. A spiritual birth is how the spiritual life begins. And the spiritual birth occurs the moment any of us put our faith in the finished work of Christ on the cross. And that's why the Bible says, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and all things become new." This is evidently clear in 2 Corinthians 5:17, where you can read it for yourself. You become a new creature in Christ. And I remember when I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, I did not change outwardly. Nothing about me changed that you could tell. But on the inside, I had a new direction. I had a new thought process. I had a new birth. And God the Holy Spirit came to live inside of me, and I was born again. Let's look at it this way. When I was born the first time, I came into this world by my mother's womb, and I had a body. Yes, I did. And I had a soul. Yes, I did. Now, I did not have a human spirit, because the Bible says that I was born spiritually dead. So I was alive physically, but dead spiritually. Then, at the age of 22 years old, when I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, I had a second birthday. I still had the same body that was not affected. I still had the same soul. But my human spirit that had been dead from birth was now indwelled by God the Holy Spirit, and I was born again spiritually, or made spiritually alive. Now remember, the Bible says if anyone's going to worship God, he must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And it is not possible to have a relationship with God without having a spiritual birthday, without being alive spiritually. And it is not possible to have a relationship with God without coming through the truth. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the way and the truth and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. And so the path to God the Father begins the moment we believe in Christ and are born again spiritually, and so that we have a spiritual birth. And we do that by coming to Christ, that's the truth, and we grow as the result of that in our spiritual life. In our last radio show, we talked about spiritual growth as related to the ministry of God the Holy Spirit. And I told you, as a believer in Jesus Christ, that it is impossible to grow spiritually as long as the Holy Spirit is quenched or grieved in our lives. And this quenching and grieving comes about as a result of sin. And when we do not confess our sin, then we lose the filling of the Holy Spirit. I showed you in the Bible where you are filled with the Holy Spirit at salvation, as well as several things. You are sealed, you are indwelled, you are filled, you are regenerated. I mean, I could teach you these things in a college course. It would take a year to cover, but these are some of the 40 things that happen to you the moment you believe in Jesus Christ. 40 assets that you get at salvation, and 39 of them are irrevocable. One of these assets you can lose, and that is the filling of the Holy Spirit. But you can reclaim it by using the rebound process, which is problem-solving device number one in the 10 problem-solving devices. The rebound technique is using 1 John 1:9. It says, if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to purify us from all of our wrongdoing. If you don't have a copy of our book called Christian Problem Solving, why don't you write and get one, and it'll list all of the 10 problem-solving devices for you. And if you continue to listen to this radio show, you'll hear us teach them over and over again. Now today, as we talk about the spiritual life, it's important to understand another critical area, that we are supposed to grow spiritually. The Bible mandates that we grow spiritually. A couple of verses that I can think of right off the top of my head. 2 Peter says, grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So I'm to grow in grace. Grace orientation is a problem-solving device. It is one of the 10 problem-solving devices. And grace orientation is you coming to orient to grace in your life, everything that happens to you, so that you expect grace, you treat people in grace, you enjoy the grace of God. Grace orientation is a phenomenal attribute in the Christian's life. Grow in the grace and in the knowledge of your Lord and your Savior, Jesus Christ. That's 2 Peter 3:18. Grow in the grace and in the knowledge. Now, knowledge is another problem-solving device. This is called biblical orientation or doctrinal orientation. Same thing. Knowledge has two different types of knowledge in the Bible. I want to make sure you understand this. The Bible, when the Bible talks about knowledge, it's translated two different ways. One of the words for knowledge is gnosis, G-N-O-S-I-S. And another word for knowledge, and these are in the original Greek manuscript, not the King James, but in the original Greek manuscript, another word is epi epignosis. So that would be epignosis. Now, there's a difference between gnosis and epignosis. Both words translated knowledge. Gnosis is information you've heard and you've understood. Epignosis is information you've heard and you've understood and you've applied. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ in Luke 11, 27 and 28 says, happiness belongs to those people who hear my Father's word and who keep it. So there's the difference between hearing and keeping the word of God. Now, when you keep the word of God, when you apply the word of God into your life, when you make it a criteria that you live by, then it becomes wisdom. The Bible begins to refer to it as wisdom. That wisdom is you thinking divine viewpoint. It is you staying off of the my way highway. It is you not buying into human viewpoint or what one of your friends told you is the answer to happiness. You know, it's always amazing. People will tell you that you should follow your dreams. And if you follow your dreams, you can be happy. It's America, the land of the free. Follow your dreams. The only problem with that is the Bible explicitly warns you not to chase after dreams. There is a life beyond dreams. Yes, there is. And it is, the Bible says, the eye hath not seen, the ear hath not heard, and the heart hath not felt the fabulous things that God has for those that love him. And in your wildest imagination, in a million years, you could not conceive the fabulous lifestyle and blessings associated with that lifestyle that God has for you. But it's when you fulfill his mandates that these escrow blessings are given to you. It's not when you come up with some dream of your own. If I could be a TV anchor man, I'd be happy. If I could win the lottery, I would be happy. If I could marry Miss America, if I could marry Mr. USA, I'd be happy. And we'd have beautiful children, and we'd all be in television. And listen, those sort of dreams, there's nothing wrong with having expectations. There's nothing wrong with you having desires to achieve. But as long as you understand this, that is not your source of happiness, because you can achieve your dream and still be miserable. You can be a millionaire and still be miserable. If you don't believe it, look at Hollywood. Look at the many, many marriages and the divorces and the murders and the abuse of people that are successful, that are wealthy. Look at the track record of the people that win the lottery, and you will see. You will see exactly what I'm talking about. This is not the source of happiness. The source of happiness is your spiritual life. As goes your spiritual life, so goes your happiness. Because if all you have to operate on is your physical life, if all you have going for you are your physical attributes, then you are going to be in for a surprise when they begin to diminish. When your good looks go away, when your good health leaves you, when your money shrinks to nothing, then you might be a little depressed. But your spiritual life never diminishes, it just increases. It's an amazing thing how God increases your spiritual life, your spiritual wealth, your spiritual insight, your spiritual understanding. The secret to happiness in this life is to exploit your spiritual life to the fullest, so that you become a mature believer. And that's why the Bible says clearly in 2 Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. To study the Bible doesn't mean to take your Bible and go out and sit in the woods and read it. I run into people all the time that say, I read the Bible through this year. Or I read the Bible through in the last 2 years. And that's a wonderful thing. Glad you did that. But that's not how you become a mature believer. When the Bible uses the word study, the interesting verb there is a mandate from God. This is the imperative mood. This is not a request. This is the imperative mood. And it means that you are to grow up spiritually No doubt about it. Now, how do I grow up spiritually? Number one, I must be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's not studying. That's dealing with known sin when it occurs. And how do I grow up spiritually? Number two, I must take in the Word of God on a consistent basis. The Bible clearly says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And God has equipped certain individuals, certain male members of the human race, who have the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher. Ephesians chapter 4 talks about it. And these people that have the gift of pastor-teacher, in the Greek New Testament, it calls them poimen kai didaskalos. That is the shepherd and the teacher. And it's one gift because there's only one definite article with it. It's called the pastor and teacher. Not the pastor and the teacher. It's the pastor and teacher. That's in Hendides in the Greek New Testament. That's one gift, one person. And when you find that man, when you sit under that man, it is his job to teach you God's Word, and you study that Word. You learn it. You grow. You know, the Bible is called a treasure. Paul said we have this treasure in our earthly bodies. And treasure, the interesting thing about treasure, is the Greek word for treasure is thesaurus. Thesaurus. And so the Bible is a word treasure. And the job of the pastor is to go into the Word of God, the treasure of the Word of God, the gold mine of Scriptures, and to dig out the nuggets and to give those nuggets to you and make you rich. Not sell them to you. Not sell them to you. Unfortunately, many pastors that dig up wonderful nuggets of truth haven't learned this yet, and so they sell the gold nuggets to people. The truth is, you give it away. The Bible is clear about this. You don't charge for God's Word. You give it away. And as you learn the Word of God as a pastor, as God the Holy Spirit exposes certain biblical truths to you, He doesn't authorize the pastor to put it in a book and sell it to people. He tells them to give it. You got it freely. You give it away freely. That's why we never sell radio advertising on this show. That's why we never sell any of our books that we give away by the hundreds to students when we speak in schools across the country. You operate by grace. And as you learn the information freely given to you by a pastor, then you apply it into your life. And sometimes you may have to hear it more than one time. Now, this is interesting. When I played football, we would often do the same drill over and over and over again. Someone once asked the coach, why do we run the kicking game every day? Why do we do these offensive blocks every day? Why do we run these defensive schemes every day? And our coach, who happened to be Coach Paul Bear Bryant, the great legendary football coach at Alabama, said, you're going to do them till you can do them in your sleep, so that when you get into a football game, you don't have to think about what you're doing. And so a pastor who's worth anything will repeat and repeat and repeat. You think the army makes soldiers learn how to march by repeating and repeating and repeating? Yes, until they can do it in their sleep. And so as the pastor learns God's Word, he teaches it not once, not twice, not three times, not a half a dozen times, but over and over and over again till you can do it in your sleep. Till you understand the spiritual process of growing. Till you take the Word of God and make it your food and your meat and you eat it. That's what Jeremiah said. He said, I found your words and I ate them. The Word of God is the greatest meal you or I could ever have. And people are starving in churches today because they're not being fed. They're being entertained. They're being shown different things. Many churches today are even, it's amazing when I visit some churches, they'll say, we got this great program for our adults now. And I say, well, what are you teaching them? Well, we got this series out, and each person has to buy a book, see? And then we watch this video, see? It's turned into marketing. That's not Christianity. That's some guy's marketing something that God the Holy Spirit taught him so that other churches can tap into. Come on. You need a pastor that will study God's word faithfully, that will then teach you faithfully and not charge you. And then as you take the word of God that you learn in your local church under the faithful exegetical teaching of your pastor, then you can go over it and study it and learn it and apply it and live by it. And this is how you grow spiritually. This is how you grow spiritually. You grow spiritually by staying filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's a simple process. We've discussed it last show and this show. And we grow spiritually by sitting under the teaching ministry of a qualified pastor who instructs us from God's word as the Holy Spirit reveals it to him. He digs up the treasure and gives it to us freely. And then we, in turn, when we learn this information, when we learn the techniques, the principles, the procedures that are found in the Bible to exploit the Christian life, then we begin to personally represent Jesus Christ to our friends. We represent Christ in our local church as a body of believers, but we represent Christ as individuals in our daily life when we are around our friends, so that when they see us, they see Christ, or they see Christ-like perspectives in us. We think like Christ thought. We act like Christ acted. We treat people the way Christ would have treated people, so that we become Christ-like individuals. We assume his personality profile as per the filling of the Holy Spirit. In Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit. That's the personality profile of Jesus Christ, our Lord, the anointed Son of God. And as we represent Christ, we replicate his life by our very thinking. And our thinking becomes divine viewpoint from the scriptures that we learned, not human viewpoint from something that someone told us, but divine viewpoint. The difference in human viewpoint and divine viewpoint is the difference between humility and arrogance. See, the scripture says he that wants to be first has to learn to be last. But human viewpoint says, if you want to be first, step on everybody and kick them out of your way till you get to the top. And so the process is that you're not going to be promoted till God promotes you. As a believer in Jesus Christ, God will not pour blessings into your cup that you cannot handle. He's not going to promote you into a place that you cannot succeed. God loves you more than that. He's not going to let you embarrass yourself. But human viewpoint's going to tell you to step on people and get to the top as quick as you can, so that there's only one way down when you get to the top, and that's failure. And so as you grow, as you're filled with the Spirit, you go through testing, you go through the fire, you go through the process that God refines you until eventually you become that mature believer that glorifies God to the maximum. And that is when you are then qualified for something called evidence testing. Evidence testing is a significant part of the mature believer's life. Evidence testing is when you are allowed to be cross-examined by Satan himself. Adam and Eve were cross-examined by Satan. Our Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 4, cross-examined by Satan. In this stage of the angelic conflict, in this arena of contention on this planet, you don't belong here. You're a sojourner. You're passing through. Your citizenship is in heaven. But make no mistake about it, Satan does not want to go to the lake of fire. He is still trying to seek a way out of the judgment that God passed on him. And to vindicate himself, he will use your failures or your weaknesses to impugn the name of God. And so, as in the book of Job, God allowed Job to be cross-examined because Satan was accusatory. He said the only reason that Job worshipped him is because God had blessed him. Could you handle what Job went through? Could you lose all of your wealth, all of your security, every nickel, every dime, even your family, and still keep your eyes on the Savior? You have to keep your eyes on the solution, not the problem. And so when you face adversity, which is in the form of testing, you keep your eyes on the solution, not on the problem. When you face adversity that is in the form of discipline, then that's from God to correct you, to chastise you, and you're the one that has to decide. You see, you may be going through some sort of physical suffering right now. You may be going through some sort of physical separation. And the question is this discipline for sin that is unconfessed in my life? Or is this blessing? Is this God testing me, trying me through the fire? What am I facing? You must decide that. You have enough scripture in your soul to know that. That's what the mature believer is able to discern. The mature believer is able to figure that out. And the mature believer is able to avoid the quicksand, the traps, the plots and the plans that the sin nature or Satan lays out for us. The Bible says that he has a strategy for us and he knows what our weaknesses are. And that if we're going to be mature believers, we need to know what they are as well, right? And if we know what they are, then we know where we should go or not go. We know what we should do or not do. And I remind you that a lot of blessings come and a lot of blessings go. But the source is always the same. I'm going to say it again. Blessings come and blessings go. But the source is always the same. As we face a critical time in the history of the United States of America, we face some critical times financially and militarily, and there are enemies that we have all over the world that would love to see us fall and be destroyed as a free nation. You may lose everything you've ever fought for. You may lose every dime you've ever saved. You may lose even members of your family to a war in a foreign battlefield. But blessings come and blessings go. But the source always remains the same. Your Heavenly Father will never abandon you. He will never forsake you. He is aware of every testing that you face. And through it all, He's provided a way of escape. Because He will not tempt us more than we could stand. Or test us, more than we could stand. The Bible is clear about that in 1 Corinthians 10:13. So remember these things. As you grow spiritually, you will go through testing. As you grow spiritually, you will go through distractions. You will be defeated from time to time. You will be discouraged. But you must keep advancing. You must continue to walk in the Spirit. You must continue to keep your eyes on Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our salvation, as per Hebrews 12:2. Don't look at the problem. Look at the solution. The spiritual life is the key. You stay filled with the Spirit. You continue to take in God's Word on a consistent process, and hopefully you find a qualified pastor that teaches it to you. And I like to study the Word of God every day. I like to take it in every day. And fortunately, I have a pastor that teaches me enough so that I can study every day. And that allows me to keep the Word of God fresh and foremost and first in my mind. And that's where the Holy Spirit is able to help me grow, and so that I can represent Jesus Christ to my generation. Well, this has been Rick Hughes, and I'd like to thank you for listening to The Flatline, and I pray and I trust that you'll join us next Sunday, same time, same place. Until then, thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or on the Internet at www.bigrick.org.